Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news as Michael Carrick apparently wants Sanderberg or Tyler Adams. I'm not here to ruin your Thursday morning, but that has ruined mine. We'll delve into that. Also, Lewis Skelly, is he now going to be the left-back target for Manchester United? We've got updates from Romano. We've got updates from David Ornstein on that as well. Are United now operating a sell-to-buy policy? It feels like it's crept up on us. We've heard it before. It's now coming out from certain outlets that United are probably focused on selling players more than buying players at the moment, which is somewhat incredible when you've got a net spend of £40 million that you'd still need to sell to buy. Let me just repeat that. Our net spend is £40 million. That is minuscule. Why would you be in a position where you need to sell to buy when you've only spent £40 million? But apparently some people think that. We'll talk about who could be heading out the door to fund this summer transfer window and a lot more to get into, as well as your comments as always. But, I just want to pose a question very, very early on to those in the chats, those in the fan base and those in the wider picture who told us 2 months ago not to moan, because there's plenty of time left in the window. Let's be patient. What are you saying now? What are you saying now? I just want to know what you're saying now, because when we were warning about this transfer window in the middle of June and we were told, be patient, there's loads of the window left, what are you telling us 2 months later? What are you telling us on the 6th of August? Are you relaxed now or are you lying to yourselves? Let us know. I'd love to know. Anyway, let's delve into it. First of all, I want to talk about the left back situation just very quickly, because I think that the way we, you know, as a collective, I think the way we work is that we go from one bullshit story to another. So Lewis Hall was an option. Now he's not an option. So now everyone's talking about Lewis Skelly again. So The Independent is saying that Man United are evaluating a possible move for Arsenal's Miles Lewis-Skelly as they assess options to strengthen at left-back. He's viewed as a potential alternative to Lewis Hall, with Newcastle reluctant to leave. Look, I think Lewis-Skelly does excite a lot of people, and I don't think that, you know, I certainly think he's an interesting profile of player. But what David Ornstein has said is, I can't see him moving to Manchester United. And David Ornstein is obviously very good, not only at transfers, but also in relation to Arsenal. So I would almost say, when it comes to Lewis Skelly, let's just get it out the way very, very, very quickly, that you've got to look at it and go, do you want to go down another nightmare? Do you want to put yourself through that again? I refuse to do it with Lewis Hall. You know, a week ago I was saying, I don't believe it. I'll run around the garden naked. Well, not naked, with my top off. It won't happen. And I think a lot of you wanted it to happen to make me look stupid. And I said, I don't mind looking stupid. I want Lewis Hall. I don't mind sitting here and saying the club is completely incompetent. It won't sign someone like Lewis Hall. I really, really want to be wrong when I'm saying that. But I wasn't wrong. So at no point did I believe we were going to sign Lewis Hall. I know many of you did. I'm also not going to do it with Lewis Skelly as well. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to waste my time on that. So if you think Lewis Skelly to Manchester United is realistic, I don't. I think Arsenal have just spent £75 million on Bruno Guimaraes, and if we went anywhere near them for Lewis Skelly, they'd probably want 60, 65, which we just wouldn't pay anyway. So I think we'd be wasting our time in relation to that. Just to shout out as well, we've had a comment here from somebody. Trocky says, Sanderberg is a very good player. Thumbs up. I want to delve into this straight away. So Laurie Whitwell has said a few things in the last sort of 24 hours, one of which is that Manchester United and therefore Michael Carrick obviously have looked at Sanderberg, Tyler Adams at Bournemouth. They've looked at these players and they're currently assessing where to go. They're having those internal debates about where to go in relation to the midfield. Now, let me be very, very clear here, because I'm sure it's going to cause debate. If you're a fan of Sanderberg or you're a fan of Tyler Adams, respect. One plays for Fulham and he's going to be 29 this season. One plays for Bournemouth in his mid-20s. I think he's had a few injury problems. If you think that's the level of Manchester United, fill your boots. This is not about Sanderberg being a bad player. This is not about Tyler Adams being a bad player. This is about the identity of Manchester United Football Club at its very core. This is why I say we're Everton. Because if I was asked at the end of the transfer window, guess the club who bought these three players. Tyler Adams, Santos and Tillemans. I wouldn't be guessing Arsenal. I wouldn't be guessing Man City. I wouldn't be guessing Liverpool. I wouldn't be guessing Chelsea. I wouldn't be guessing Spurs. I might be guessing Aston Villa. I shouldn't be guessing Manchester United. And that, to me, is the standards I'm talking about. I am not saying Sanderberg is shit. I am not saying Santos is shit. And I'm not saying Tillemans is shit. I'm saying, if you think that's a good summer transfer window for Manchester United, then you, my friends, your standards are gone. This football club that you support should not be having summer transfer windows like that. Manchester United's transfer window should be about Tchouaméni, Elliot Anderson, Mateus Fernandes, Tonali. That's Lewis Hall. That's the level that Man United should be at. And the reason I argue with the people who want the likes of Sanderberg is because I don't think you understand what this football club is. And I think you're taking it down to a level that benefits the Glazers. That's why I call it an Everton transfer window. Not because they're bad players, not because Everton are a bad team, but because it's not the standards of Manchester United. If Barcelona suddenly started buying people like Sanderberg and Santos, you'd go, that's not what I expect from Barcelona. If Arsenal started buying Sanderberg or Tyler Adams, you'd go, that's not what I'd expect from Arsenal. So, and remember, we're behind. We're not even in a position. We're playing catch up as well. So when you look at Arsenal's midfield now, you've got Marino, Zubimendi, Odegaard, Rice, Bruno Guimaraes, Luis Scheli can play in the midfield as well, Eze, Havertz. I mean, it's pretty good. And you look at United, you got Mainoo, Tillemans, Santos, Mason Mount, and maybe Sanderberg or Tyler Adams. They're not bad players. I'm not sitting here giving you a clip saying that Sanderberg's shit or Tyler Adams is shit or Santos is shit or Tillemans is shit. Quite the contrary, I think they're decent players. But I think when you rock up to the Etihad or you rock up to the Nou Camp, they don't look at a midfield four of Mainoo, Santos, Tillemans and Sanderberg and go, we're in trouble here. And that's what I mean. I think some people look, people think in different ways. And I think they look at the player and go, he's done a good job at Fulham. He's done a good job at Bournemouth. When he's come off the bench for Chelsea, he's been quite good. It's not. There are levels to this game. The reason the Modrics and the Bellinghams and the Rodris are spoken about in the world game is because they're decent. And the reason the likes of Sanderberg and Tyler Adams aren't is because they're just good. And if United want to be decent, you need to buy decent players. You can't just buy good. So if we're looking at a midfield three of recruitment-wise of Tillemans, Santos and Sanderberg, let me break that down. One is young potential, who's spent most of his career on Chelsea's bench, and the other two are in their late 20s and may give you 1 or 2 years at an okay level. But they're never going to be Modric, they're never going to be Rodri, and in 2 years they might not be anything because they might be done. That's my concern. It's very mid. It's a very mid recruitment in a midfield where at the start of the window, United themselves were quite happy to circulate Anderson being their priority, Tchouaméni being their dream, Tonali being a prospect, Mateus Fernandes being a prospect, Bruno Guimaraes being a prospect. To go from that to this, I think is massively underwhelming. And like I say, hopefully Santos will be a good signing. Hopefully Tillemans will be a good signing. And maybe Sanderberg would be a decent signing. But these are not players that are going to take Manchester United to titles. These are players that are going to take Man United to fifth or fourth. And that's the problem, isn't it? I think we have this battle in our fan base now where it's green or red and no one wants to have the amber conversation. I'm not saying we can't get Champions League football every year, but is that not the wet dream of the Glazers, which is a horrible thought? But fifth place every year, don't spend that much money, fund a stadium, fund your bank balance. Maybe that's the plan. And that plan hurts me more. I'd rather we finished 15th for 2 years and forced the Glazers out than finish fifth for 10 and never be ambitious. Like, I don't want to hold ground with this ownership. I either want to win things or I want it to go bad so they fuck off. The worst scenario for me is fifth place for the next 10 years having the same conversations we've had this summer and for the last 2 years, where some of us get the standards and some of us don't, and we argue with each other while they prosper. I think that's the nightmare for United, is to keep finishing fifth with no ambition and just be stuck with these owners who are basically trying to build a stadium to make themselves rich. That's what my concern is. But I do think a midfield of Tielemans, Santos, Mainoo and Sanderberg can get you fifth place, but it can't get you first. And that's what I thought we were trying to do. So, but look, I'm not going to slate the story. Who was it? It was Laurie Whitwell, wasn't it? I'm not going to slate the story. I mean, I think at this, you know, if I'd said, if this was a story in June, I think it would be sensationalist, panic, you know, arguments, etc. We've only got 3 and a bit weeks left in this window. If people don't seriously think we're considering Sanderberg and Tyler Adams, you're deluded. What else is there in the window? We don't want to spend big, so we can't get Alex Scott. We don't have a lot of time, so we can't spend weeks and weeks negotiating. We probably need to go to a club that wants the money and the player wants the move. And that is going to be a Fulham. That is going to be a Bournemouth. Look, it could still be Manu Kone from Roma. I mean, I'm taking Manu Kone over Tyler Adams and Sanderberg every day of the week and Sunday, you know, every day of the week. But I think that's where we're at now. And, you know, I go to the shelves behind me where we had tier one, tier two, tier three. And I was under the expectation that, you know, we might have a Santos here. We might have a Tonali here and a Tchouaméni there. Or we might have a João Gomes here, a Mateus Fernandes there and an Anderson there. That's the sort of summer I was expecting with our midfield. You know, I think back to Liverpool when they rebuilt their midfield in one summer with Gravenberch, McAllister, Szoboszlai and Endo. That's a midfield rebuild. I look at ours and I go, this is just, what are we paying Favel, Wilcox and Berarda for? Because I don't think this is a structured midfield build. I think it's about grabbing what option D, E and F, G and H and J, K you can get before the window closes. So look, I'm not slating Tyler Adams. I think statistically he's quite a good midfielder. I'm not slating Sanderberg, but I'd be stunned as well. And let me just double check this. I would be stunned as well if we were to buy Tielemans, who is going to be 30 this season. He's 29. So Tielemans is 30 during this season and Berg would be 29. I can't see us signing Sanderberg. I can't see us signing two 29-year-olds. I can't see that happening, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me because I think we are desperate now. And United will try and spin it. They will try and pretend this was the plan all along because that's what they have to do. But I think we're in desperation zone now. And as I've said to you many times before, for me, you go and get Truffert, you go and get Kone, and you get on with the season. I don't even care about another striker. I genuinely think that with regards to the striker, move Xerxes on anyway. You have got Cunha, you have got Mbeumo. They can play up front. And if the worst comes to the worst, you can do something in January. But what's left in this window up front when you've got to buy a midfielder and a left back, I'd almost go, look, it is what it is. Let's go with what we've got. Yeah. What are the odds on with signing Kone, says Christian? The latest on Kone, let me just double check. I've not had anything this morning. The latest on Kone is that there is a Premier League club advancing on him that's not Manchester United, not Chelsea, not Newcastle and not Liverpool. All I've got, Vinicius Jr. will make a decision today. That's from the source who tells me about Kone and Tchouaméni as well. So that's nothing to do with us. Look, it could be Aston Villa. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, look, I'm not here to, it's, you know, we've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. I'm really interested. And I know some of you haven't got a lot of time for Ben Jacobs or any journalist this summer. You know, even the Laurie Whitwell story, people are saying as if Man United are telling him what's going on. They're not telling anybody, which is a fair point. But I am very interested to see what names Ben mentions at 2 o'clock, because he's tapped in with the likes of, you know, the industry. And I think if we do get names like Belaba and Tchouaméni and Lewis Hall, I think basically nobody knows anything. So I'm interested to see what does come out today at 2 o'clock, because honestly, I didn't think we'd get through another week. Well, we're not quite through another week yet, but I didn't think we'd get through another week with nothing happening. And next week is the return of Rashford. So the PR is massive. Next week, it's Rashford this, Rashford that, Rashford this, Rashford that. We're also playing Leeds midweek in Dublin. So United are going to be in Dublin. So there's a lot of noise going on next week for Man United to try and do a deal as well. I think United do map out their social media spikes. And I think they know next week it's all about photos of Mainoo returning, Rashford returning, the squad all back together. We're in Dublin. That's a big PR. You know, United will have that boxed off in their sort of calendar in relation to that week. So I think it's very difficult to establish whether they can do something in the week or not. So we'll have to wait and see on that. What about Tanaka from Leeds? I mean, mate, at this stage, we can throw midfielders out, but I just don't think that we can, you know, we may as well have a laugh about what's going to happen, because there is nothing solid. You know, you may as well start talking about Vlahovic again or Lewandowski, although he's already signed for somebody. Also interesting from Laurie Whitwell, there's a few things I want to go through about today about, I mean, I want to talk about this pay rise that Mount and Rashford are getting, but Xerxes not. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we'll also talk about Xerxes. But this was also what Laurie Whitwell said. Man United are believed to be assessing player sales before deciding on the next signing. Now, this is what I mean about sell to buy. I found this really, really odd, because it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Laurie Whitwell writes for The Athletic, whatever you think about The Athletic, you know, whatever. But Man United are believed to be assessing player sales before deciding on their next signing. The club are looking at potential outgoings to determine how much they can spend for the rest of the transfer window. Now, I find this incredible. And look, the United Stand will always be the place for real fan debate. And real fan debates, as we've had over the years, is sell this player, start this player, sack this manager, recruit this manager, don't sign that player, sign this player, these owners are shit, let's get Qatar. You know, these conversations, you know, whether it's reacting to what happened with Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford, Ronaldo storming down the pit touchline, we will always have the real conversations on here. And in those real conversations, you sometimes go down an alleyway where it becomes a little bit farcical. But you also have conversations like this that people just, when you have real conversations, sometimes the real conversation is going to descend into, you know, stupidity. But sometimes it's going to go into conversations that people don't want to have. Now, considering the mainstream journalists have an absolute grip on press conferences, interviews with players, you know, it's a traditional mainstream thing and we're trying to break through that. Considering they have all that, they don't actually do proper journalism, do they? They just go, I'm hearing this. Now, if I was Laurie Whitwell, what I would say is what I'm about to say. But he doesn't. He just feeds out what he's hearing from the club with very little scrutiny of it. And that's why I call it client journalism. And I'm not having a pop at Laurie Whitwell. I think they're all at it. Client journalism is, yeah, this is what's happening. And then they type it up and they put it out there. It's like a newsletter. There's no journalism attached to it. Journalism would be, this is what's happening. And then the journalist goes, so that's what's happening. But flip side of that is that, right, I'm going to write an opinion piece. And that we don't get that. So when we hear that Man United are believed to be assessing player sales before deciding on their next signing, the club are looking at potential outgoings to determine how much they can spend for the rest of the transfer window. You know what I'm going to say? We've only spent £40 million net. Why, with just over 3 weeks in the transfer window, would you be sat there leaking to journalists that the reason you're not buying anybody is you're assessing sales to see how much more you can spend? We've only spent £40 million. Are you seriously telling me that with 3 weeks left in the window, we are sat there with a £40 million net spend going, well, we need to figure out who we're selling before we buy anybody else? You're not selling anybody for more than £20 million. So does that scare you? Because if we've got a £40 million net spend and we're not going to sell anybody for more than 20, the maximum we're going to get up to is, you know, another £20 million coming in on top of what we've got. Well, it doesn't sound very good for what we've got, does it? I mean, if you've got a Rodri to sell for 80 million, that's going to make a big difference. You know, maybe you can go big on Alex Scott. But our net spend is £40 million. Why are we assessing sales before we do another signing? Like, is that an indicator of how little money we've got? Or is it United trying to spin their fans by going, let's buy another week or two, because we need to just get to the end of the transfer window and when it's closed? Look, you can moan as much as you like when the window is closed. I said this yesterday because David Ornstein was saying, well, let's assess the window at the end. We can't afford to assess the window at the end. Once that, how many bad transfer windows have we had close, get really angry and go, well, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing you can do when the window's closed. If you're not happy, if you're happy, fine. But if you're not happy, now is the time to scrutinise. So why is Laurie Whitwell saying Man United may be assessing sales to see how much more money they can spend before they buy anybody? We've spent fucking nothing. Tottenham are heading towards £300 million of expenditure. Chelsea are north of £200 million. They can actually sell players. We can't sell. So we need to get on with buying. Absolutely. So I don't know why sell to buy is a thing. And I don't know why it's now a thing in August and we've never heard about it in May, June and July either. So I think these are red flags. I think these are concerning because we've got nothing to sell. So why are we talking about we need to sell to buy when we've got nothing to sell in the first place? I mean, look, who are we going to sell? Marcus Rashford, Man United, factually, nobody's going to come back against me on this. Rashford's agents, Rashford himself, Old Trafford, Carrington, every bloody journalist, Fabrizio Romano, no one's going to come back on me on this. Marcus Rashford's unsellable. We've been trying to sell him for 12 months. We can't sell him. Nobody will buy him at that wage and the price we want. So Rashford's unsellable. Forget about him. Remember last summer, people were using the 25 million for Rashford as part of United's expenditure save. We didn't sell him. So we're not selling him. He's unsellable. Xerxes, Romano said today that for the first time, well, I'll come back to that Xerxes story, but he's not sellable. You can loan him, but you can't sell him. So we're not going to get anything for Rashford. We're not going to get anything for Xerxes. Agate is injured, so we're not going to get anything for him. Casemiro went for free. All right, we've probably got 6 million for Vitek, and we might get 6 million for Amas, and we might get 3 million next summer for Binda, but there's nobody to sell. There's literally nobody. There is no one we can sell. Nobody is sellable. And this is what I mean about this community and the fans out there, because it's not just this community. I see it on X. I see it on Instagram. There are fans out there that on a daily basis are calling out the bullshit. And when you've got a journalist or journalists talking about United aren't buying anybody because they're assessing their sales to see how much more they can spend, I've just assessed your sales in 30 seconds. You're not selling anyone. You're not selling anybody for more than 10 million. You've got nothing to sell. So what are you assessing? Is it an excuse to go, let's buy a couple of weeks pretending we're trying to sell someone? And when we don't sell anyone, we can say, well, we couldn't sell anyone. Well, that's your problem. We've said this, we've had this conversation so many times. There are people out there that say, be patient. Let's see what Ineos and the Glazers can do, as is their right. But my response, and I think many of your responses, hold on a minute, I never wanted this. I'm not being patient. 2 years of Glinios and I can't stand it. I'm not being patient because I never bloody wanted it in the first place. It's like me asking for the menu, I want a lasagna. And then somebody comes out with a beef bourguignon. And I go, I didn't order that. Be patient and give it a try. Yeah, I don't like it. Get me a lasagna. But just give it another try. I didn't order it. I've given it a try. I don't want it. It's not what I ordered. I've tried it out of politeness, but I didn't want it anyway, and I don't want it, so get rid of it. And that's what I feel about in relation to Glineos, is I never wanted them. I haven't changed my mind. I'm not a hypocrite. You can go back and check the videos. I never wanted them in the first place. So I'm not being patient. I don't want them. And I don't have to be patient and give them a chance. They've had 2 years. I think they're bullshitting us. I don't think they've got a bloody clue what they're doing. And they deliver now, or we're going to reap the whirlwind, aren't we? It's as simple as that. So I don't get that one. I don't get why we're assessing sales when we've got nothing to sell. And I don't get why we're doing it with 3 weeks to go in the window either. So really, it really interested to know your thoughts on that. Talking about Xerxes, he is heading towards the door. Really strange with Xerxes, you know, because bit of inside information. Ten Hag didn't really rate Xerxes, wasn't the striker that he wanted. Amrim didn't rate Xerxes. Carrick doesn't rate Xerxes. But at the end of the season, instead of being leaders, they bottled it. They should have said to Xerxes at the end of the season, you're not part of the plans, and given him June to find a club. United never had that conversation with him. They sent him off on holiday. They never said anything to him. They brought him back to pre-season. And it's only now, in early August, that he's figured out that he's probably not a part of the plans. United haven't pushed him out the door. So we're now in a position with Xerxes where when people had money in June, we might have got a buyer. If we'd said to Xerxes at the start of June, you're not for sale, get to work, his agent might have actually found a buyer. But we're now in August. A lot of clubs have sorted out their targets or know what they want to do. So there's only a loan move for Xerxes. But this is what Romano says. For the first time, which goes with what I've just said there, it's only now that Xerxes is genuinely looking around regarding his future. So this is a direct quote from Fabrizio Romano. For the first time, Xerxes is looking around regarding his future. So on the 6th of August, Xerxes finally figured out that he needs to look somewhere else. That's May, June, July gone because we didn't tell him. He would happily return to Italy. He enjoyed his time there and knows the league really well. I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it? If I spoke to all of you on June the 1st, you would say, tell Xerxes to go and get him off to Italy. 6th of August, for the first time, he's now looking to go and Italy's probably where he's going to go. So look, we have got probably a loan deal will happen a lot quicker than a sale. But you've got Xerxes probably going, and then what are United going to do? Now, the question is going to be, do Man United have a replacement for Xerxes in mind? I don't know. There will be positive people out there that go, we do, we're just waiting for Xerxes to go and then we'll make our move. There'll be realists who go, well, look at the midfield. Whatever plan we had there has disappeared. Look at left back. Whatever plan we've got there isn't there. So I don't know that Xerxes going means that we go and do something quick. I would say we'll either crack on without Xerxes, or in the last week of the window, we'll do something really strange, a la Weghorst or Cavani or Igalo. Something really late in the window that's not planned, that's a bit of a gamble. But whoever that gamble is going to be, if they're an out-and-out striker, I do think we'd be in a better position than Xerxes, who isn't a striker. So, look, we'll have to watch and see what happens with that. So that's what's going on with Xerxes. Done that one there about that. Oh, a little bit on Rodri. I'm almost embarrassed to talk about this one. So in relation to Rodri, Real Madrid obviously was expected to be his destination, and apparently he does want to leave. Barcelona have swooped in at the very end. So Barcelona are now pushing hard to get Rodri. Now, whether Rodri suits Barcelona or he suits Real Madrid, I'd probably say he's more of a Barcelona player, if I'm being honest, because he's more technical, Pep Guardiola, etc., etc. So I think that that is quite an interesting one. However, if he goes to Barcelona, and I hope this isn't happening, if Man United aren't doing anything in the midfield because they're waiting to see Rodri go to Real Madrid so we can try and get Camavinga or Tchouaméni, if Rodri goes to Barcelona, that probably kills that anyway, because Real Madrid wouldn't be getting their number one target and would then have to stick with what they've got or pivot towards something else, which takes more time. So I really hope that we're not naive enough to be waiting to see if Real Madrid get Rodri, and then we're going to go cap in hand and see if we can get Camavinga or Tchouaméni. Because, I mean, well, then again, as Jammy says, maybe if Rodri goes to Barcelona, we can go back in for De Jong. Yeah, I mean, my big issue with it is it's just not strategic, is it? That would be my problem. But it's one to keep an eye on, because there are some people out there that believe if Rodri goes to Real Madrid, we could still sign Tchouaméni. I don't think that happens, by the way. I've said it to you many times. I don't think it happens at all, because Tchouaméni wants to stay at Real Madrid. Jose wants him to stay at Real Madrid. He'd be very expensive. His new contract is very lucrative. And even if you did get Tchouaméni, he'd have to start every single game, which means Santos is back on the bench again. So I just don't see it happening. I really do. I personally think United want to go with a starting midfield of Santos and Mainoo, with Tillemans getting game time and then some fourth midfielder that, you know, sort of is a fill-in. I personally think that's what we're working towards, which is very, very dangerous considering we've only seen Santos in pre-season. And if in reality he's not very good, it's a big risk. But I think they think Santos is the starting midfielder with Mainoo or Tillemans, and then the next midfielder is going to be the low-tier midfielder. It's risky. It's risky. But I don't think we're spending big. What I'm trying to say is I don't think we're spending big on the last midfielder. I think the marquee signing was a myth. There was no marquee signing. I remember Romano talking about a marquee signing when we signed Santos. Remember when we signed Santos and Romano said, United still want a marquee signing? Fucking bollocks. I'm not saying Romano was lying. I don't think he was. I think he was probably told that. In fact, it might have been David Ornstein. I can't remember. We signed Santos or we signed Tillemans and it came out that we still wanted a marquee signing. And it was either Ornstein or Romano or both. We've not signed a marquee signing and I don't think we will. Dark Mike Music Group says, "Hi Mark, hope you're okay. Besides this depressing transfer window, if I was at United, I'd be selling Rashford to Arsenal and some deal for Lewis Skelly." I mean, I think Rashford at Arsenal would do very, very well. I don't know whether Arsenal fans would be happy with it. And if we could do something with Rashford and Lewis Skelly, it's probably not a bad idea, but I can't see it happening. Yabby says, "We need a Tottenham-like season, if not worse." We'll never have a Tottenham season when you've got the likes of Mbeumo, Bruno, Cunha, Sesko in your team, because they'll always score goals. But what is Wilcox actually doing? Says Steg. "Zero effort to find players. Everyone we look at are players we scouted years ago that may have done a job then, but not now." Sanchit says, "Hi, Mark. Can you explain Vitek we are selling and Binda we are loaning?" Yes. So Vitek is going for about 6 million, but bonuses could take it up to more. Binda is going on loan with an option to buy for 4 million euros. Club is settling because we've got Le Mans, Darlow and Heaton. So we've got three goalkeepers. Club is setting Carrick up for a fail by not backing him. Who do you think they will turn to then? Just having a laugh. Well, they're not going to go for a Tuchel because they're not going to relinquish this board control that we have at the moment. They want a head coach. So I won't be surprised. I don't think they'll look to sack Southgate. I've released the name. It'd probably be Southgate. I blame Agate, so Slow Sports News. Business idea, opening a rage room by Old Trafford, just filling it with Glenios crap, £25 for 5 minutes. The damage I'd do in 5 minutes would lead to me being sectioned, says Pete Phillips. Mrs. Stone says, let me predict the future. We're 7th in December. We lose a couple near the holidays. Carrick gets sacked. We hire in an interim. Spend big, rinse and repeat. It could be Ollie next if we go for an interim. Rohit says, hi, Mark. With a heavy heart, I'm walking away. The club helped me through my darkest times, but I can't watch greedy owners destroy it. I'll stop watching matches and follow only your updates, says Rohit. Well, that's very, very sad, mate, because I think supporting your club goes beyond the idiots who run it. That's what makes fans special, is that no matter what, you follow your club. You don't follow the owners. Tottenham bought Andy Robertson and we laughed, says Sheeran. My dad passed away. He used to always watch you, says MX. Well, thoughts with you and your family, mate, and rest in peace to your dad. Really sad news there. Ray Simpson says, do you think there's any method to United's madness?
No.
I'm somebody that watches films, TV series, football, books. You always study and look for the human behavior, the pathways, the reasoning. I can't understand this. You know, on the one hand, they spend months talking about Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali, and then when the summer comes along, they ignore all of them and go for people like Santos and Sanderberg and stuff like that. So I don't understand the logic. The only thing I think is that they knew it was going to be a shit window. They needed to sell tickets and shirts. So they spoke about dreams, which isn't lying. But if you put it out there that your dream target is Tchouaméni, the definition of a dream, it's not reality. But it gets fans excited. I believed it for a bit. You know, and Elliot Anderson's the priority. Doesn't mean you get the priority. All those stories led us all to get excited. If they'd said in April, we can't afford Tchouaméni, we can't afford Anderson, we can't afford Tonali, we're probably going to be looking at around £40-50 million for our midfielders, maybe they don't sell as many season tickets. Maybe they don't sell as many shirts. So they've become the masters of deceit, really. I think they purposely put names out there to excite us for their own financial benefit, knowing they were never going to go there. So we've been deceived, basically. And look, if you don't believe that, that's fine. But look at the list. Look at the list of deception. Semenyo, Diamande, Elliot Anderson, Mateus Fernandez, Tchouaméni, Bruno Gomes, Tonali, Lewis Hall, Alex Scott. Are any of those wearing a Man United shirt? No. Were those players mentioned by credible journalists time and time again? Yes. What is it if it's not deception? Revenue up, costs down, Glinios cashes in, says Silverback Gorilla. Board wrecking season before it starts, says Yabby. Mark, do you think the Amazon documentary is going to be the final nail in the coffin? Glinios, if we finish below fifth and we see what they were doing bits, says Mrs. Stone. Well, look, I actually tweeted this today about the Amazon documentary. The mistake we all made was thinking the Amazon documentary would spark United to make big signings for big interest in that documentary. When the fact is, our owners will see the £20 million they're getting from Amazon as pure profit and know we'll watch it anyway. It's like hiking up the season ticket prices when we're playing shit. We were talking about behavioural types. We're naive because we want to believe. So when you hear about an Amazon documentary, you think maybe they'll sign Vinny J. Maybe they will sign Elliot Anderson because it will make the documentary even better. But this is a club that hikes ticket prices when the club's not in Europe. They think about the money. They don't think about anything else. And ultimately, do you think they really care how many people watch the documentary? Still get paid. That contract will be watertight. You get access to Manchester United for £20-25 million. We get £25 million. I don't think they'll look at it and go, let's spend an extra 100 to make ourselves look good in a documentary. They'd take the money and run. This club can't do two things at once. It's pathetic, says Mrs. Stone. I can understand United had Santos on their radar, but no way Tielemans was planned. All summer, client journalists talked about Anderson and Fernandez. Club just fed them lies. There was no intent to sign them, says Amy. Do YouTube polls allow more than two options? I'd have voted for neither. Didn't want to choose between them, says Smoggy. Oh yeah, so 63% of you have gone for Sanderberg and 37% of you have gone for Tyler Adams. I'm with Smoggy. I'm not even going to say they're better than nothing. I just think that's appalling. I will not accept the standards of Everton because I'm not an Everton fan. I will not accept a midfield three of Santos, Tielemans and Sanderberg and say it's been a good summer transfer window. We're not Everton. That's not the quality needed. We haven't won a league title in 13 years. We're the only club out of Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool and Man United that has, you know, we've been without a league title the longest. We're behind. We're playing catch up and we're signing the likes of Tielemans, Santos and Sanderberg, who aren't bad players. They're not bad players, but they're not players to close that gap. There's levels to this game. None of those midfielders are tier one midfielders. And that's what we needed to bring in at least. We've just let Casemiro go. Somebody needed to be marquee. None of them are marquee. As a collective, there are six. We needed an eight. They're okay. They're not bad players. But it's not the level we should have been going in at. It's August, then I bet you couldn't put a 9 on the hotometer and that's terrifying, says Lee. No, if we had the hotometer, rest in peace, I'd say highest player is Kone at a 5. And that's ridiculous. Slow Sports News says, United plan is script a project, spend as little as possible and win the Premier League on hopes and dreams. Project 28 is set to be Project 2035. Pepsi Man says, the owners seem to think they can clever sign their way to the title. Clubs need both big names and clever signings, not just clever budget. Let's be honest, Kone is just as basic as Belaba, Adams and Bergs, as Jared. Well, that's not being honest, is it? That's your opinion, Jared. We're not all going to go, yeah, Jared, let's be honest. Kone isn't very good. Like, some people might not think that. Some people might think that. Camavinga is my pick, but I understand the risks, says Godzilla. Put a neither option mark. I want neither, says Mrs. Stone. I'm at the point where I'm so sick of the window and spin and this non-ambitious owner's destroying the club. Start the season, had enough, says Irish Beckham. It's not that other clubs aren't willing to sell as players. It's that no, we're not willing to buy players. Useless idiot, says Sean. Did Stiller sign a new contract? Wasn't Stiller available for 45 million? I'm sure Adams or Berg will be around 30, give or take. Stiller's good value, says Tyler. I don't know. I mean, Stiller did have a release clause, but I presume that's gone because I would have thought someone would have paid it. If only JJ's agent would say, if we want him, invest. JJ wants to play with A players, not B, says POV. Well, Bruno should bloody say it, really. 36-year-old and finally giving up on this club, says Stephen. Why would top players want to play for Carrick, says Keel? Here's the thing. If I was Bruno, I'd leave, says Mrs. Stone. He's nearing the last leg of his career. He'd want to win things. The club is heading nowhere. What do you think of Ayari from Brighton? I mean, I think he's a good player, Luca, but it's not the solution for United at the moment. Skelly wants to play in midfield, not left back. Why are we going for two below average midfielders when we have Kone waiting, who started for France in the World Cup, says Gaza. Why are we having these internal discussions now, says Dan. What happened to plan going into the window? If this were the plan, why did we wait? It's a shambles, says Dan. JM Norway, welcome to Members Club. Ipster says, I got verbally abused when I said Man United board are idiots and certain fans of Man United accountants absolutely brainwashed. I was on X this morning, mate, and United Stand clipped me up saying about how the club doesn't respect its community. I looked at the replies for a laugh and you can just see the bots. You can see the bots. Like, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing. Thing is, Mark, if we're making all these sales, we're actually going to be in profit from our purchases, and yet the Glazers glaze the profit. This is Slow Sports News. Patrick Lynch says, Carrick wants, I thought Ineos made all the transfer decisions. How come it's the manager's fault when things go wrong, but it's Wilcox and co when they go right? Spin, spin. Very good point. And Jack says, Glinios are taking a huge risk here. This project could unravel in 4K on the Amazon documentary. Just a few more of your comments. Should we be happy if after this horrible transfer window, Glinios go ahead and pay off 200 million of the debt, pun intended, says Sanchez. Wake up, mate. It's never going to happen. Nug says, this is worse than City's Bellamy and Santa Cruz transfer era. We ain't even playing catch up. We're trying to tread water with one arm and two peg legs. Glazing Mount as an eight is a crazy work. Defo, says Aditya. I mean, look, sometimes I literally, and I'm sure you do it the same, I do despair. Like, you can predict things, and it's not just the Glazers or Ineos, right? You can predict the problems. And imagine how easy it is to run Man United when you know how certain sections of our fan base are going to behave. Like, I literally said my biggest fear about pre-season would be that Mason Mount would be the pre-season Pirlo. Fans would start glazing him and say we don't need a third midfielder, and United don't buy a third midfielder. I said it before a ball had been kicked, and it literally has happened. But you shouldn't be able to predict that. You know, injury-prone player who's not a midfielder plays in midfield and fans back it. We're our own worst enemy. Because that's not Glazer spin. That's not Ineos spin. That's not Carrick spin. That's all over X. That's all over Instagram. That's all over YouTube. There's people making videos about it. That's United fans. True Reds saying Mason Mount's a midfielder. And when you can predict that before it even happens, you know we're dead. You know we're finished. Because there's people in our fan base that literally fall for it every single year. That, I mean, pre-season Pirlo is a thing. It's like McFred. You know, it's a thing. It's in the vocabulary of this fan base, pre-season Pirlo. A pre-season Pirlo is a player in pre-season who's not very good, who plays world class, and ends up being the solution in the transfer window, but he won't be the solution. And people fall for it every year. Every year. Mark, the plan is clear. Save 200 to 250 million summer, every summer. And hey, presto, in 5 years, you've funded your stadium. Yes, Pete, I think you're right. Let's throw in Loftus-Cheek and Ndidi in the mix. I mean, Ndidi could always come back, Mrs. Stone. Always come back. Steg says, I'm not going to choose Berg or Adams. That's giving them giving into the darkness. As true fans, we live and breathe it. I feel powerless at the moment. And Sahil says, I'm sorry if I'm being naive, but do you think we're actually broke or is this just bad planning? I don't think we're broke, Sahil. I think the previous comment's probably correct. If you need to fund a stadium and find a billion, the best way to do that is to save hundreds of millions of pounds very, very quickly. Well, if your net spend's 40 and you're still trying to bring it down, I mean, our net spend's probably going to be under 100 million pounds. When we need to spend 250, you've just saved 150 million quid. We all say Wilcox is doing a bad job. He's not a United fan. He's an employee of Ineos. If he saves the club 150 million pounds in one summer, he'll get a pay rise. We'll say sack him, he'll get a pay rise. Because our expectations don't match the club's. If the club have said to him, save us 150 million pounds this transfer window, but make us competitive, and he does it, he'll get a pay rise. But we'll all be going, what a shit window, sack the prat. And this is what I mean, that the expectations within the club will be very different to what we think. We'll think the board's done a shit job. They'll think they've done a great job. Because we've been so crap at selling and we still owe 400 million in transfer liabilities, we're always going to struggle to spend big this summer, says Andy. And also, let's not forget, Manchester United have factually spent over £1 billion in debt repayments over the last 10 to 20 years. And when I say debt, no, not debt repayments, that's wrong. Debt interest. If I owe £1,000 and I pay £5,000 in interest, I still owe £1,000 because I'm paying interest on the debt. I'm not paying the debt off. United have spent over £1 billion in debt interest. Doesn't bring the debt down, just services the debt. That £1 billion is our money. That £1 billion could have been spent on stadium, players, infrastructure. This is happening every year. I think it's about, on average, it's about £30 to £60 million a year goes on debt interest. Not clearing the debt, just paying the interest. Maybe top managers knew this was going to happen, says Ray. What leverage does Chelsea have that we don't in getting huge price tags for their unwanted players? We can't even get market viral, values is extreme. They're just better run clubs, mate. That's what it is. They're better run clubs. If I haven't seen Sid Richards, I could live with being poor. Older fans should have higher standards, says Monkey. It truly is death by a thousand cuts, says Having a Laugh. I wouldn't be surprised if we've got Smalling back on a free. Couldn't we move United to the Saudi League? We'd win the trophy there. I'd bet we bloody wouldn't, Stretford Signal. I bet we wouldn't. I understand your concern, Mark, and I'm bothered, but just because Tielemans is 35 million doesn't mean he's not tier one. He's one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. Yeah, Arjun, I'm not having this conversation. Unfortunately, I think you're taking it where the morons take it. I'm not saying you're a moron, but you are walking down the avenue. I'm not saying Tielemans is a bad signing. I'm not saying that Santos is a bad signing. And I'm not saying that Sanderberg is a bad player. That's not. I never said those words. I was actually quite pleased with Tielemans when we got him. But it's not Tchouaméni. It's not Anderson. These players are not players that Arsenal would consider signing. Arsenal wouldn't sign Tielemans. They wouldn't. Man City wouldn't sign Tielemans. If he's our best midfield signing, then I think it puts us at a level where we're not going to go to the level we need to. I don't think you win a league title with Tielemans. I don't think you win a league title with Santos. I don't think you win a league title with Sanderberg. I think you can win a league title if you sign Tielemans and Tchouaméni. I think you can win a league title if you sign Santos, Anderson and Tonali. But as a collective, because it is a collective, I don't think Tielemans, Santos and Sanderberg is good enough. Doesn't mean they're bad players. Didn't say they're bad players. I'm talking about as a three, I'd give that a 6 out of 10. We needed an 8. So let's not turn it into that, because it's never been about that. It's not about slating them as players at all. I hope they're good signings. What I'm saying is the standards of the football club aren't good enough. Where did the Garnacho cash go, says Steg? What makes Gomez better than Tielemans? We're not having this conversation, Austin, because it's not the conversation we're having. 3 billion in debt after the stadium. They can't afford players and the stadium. And also, well, we can have that conversation. I think Bruno Gomez is better than Tielemans, because I've always said that. When he was at Newcastle and we was at Villa, I would always say Bruno Gomez is better than Tielemans. Now, you can put your red-tinted glasses on if you want, and Tielemans is a good player. But if I sat here and said I think Tielemans is better than Bruno Gomez, you could pull up clip after clip after clip after clip where I said Bruno Gomez is a brilliant midfielder. So I like Tielemans, but Bruno Gomez, I would always say, is better. And you don't have to agree with me. As I say, that's absolutely fine, but I would be a hypocrite if I said Tielemans is better than Bruno Gomez, because I've always said Bruno Gomez is a very, very good midfielder. I thought it was a fantastic signing for Newcastle. I think he can defend and attack. He can pass and he can shoot. He's got aggression. I think Bruno Gomez is better than Tielemans. But hopefully Tielemans will be a really good signing for us. I'm excited to see what he can do. And he had a very good season for Villa last year. What makes me laugh, Mark, is that we're so far in debt and yet we're building a new stadium. Another thing is, like, when Parliament make a decision, they will high-five each other when we all know it's shit. Thank you, Slow Sports News. Thank you, Arjun. Remember how Arsenal performed season after season and went about transfer windows whilst building the Emirates? That's us now. Get used to it, says Cowboy. Without the Champions League, we're less attractive. Spend now, says Rizzo. Look, I see a lot of people. Mount Video had 3 million views with no copyright issues, says Stretford Signal. What video? I don't know what you're talking about. Radcliffe made his fortune in chemicals, so he approaches transfers the same way. Find the cheapest compound, hope it doesn't explode, blame the previous formula when it does. Do you think a return for Garner could work, says Fit Guy? We'd never get him out. We'd never get him out. You know what annoys me, right, is I saw somebody yesterday say, look, Arsenal built their stadium. They had to go cheap on transfers so they could fund a stadium. They've now got a good stadium and they're now winning the league. I mean, those two things don't go together, by the way. Arsenal stadium was built and they were still screaming Wenger out outside on AFTV. So the stadium didn't actually instantly lead to success. It was many years after the stadium had been built that they'd been successful. So there's no correlation really between building a new stadium and winning the league. But Arsenal needed to build a new stadium because Highbury wasn't big enough. The problem I have is I don't want a new stadium and we don't need a new stadium. The only reason we're building a new stadium is because these owners purposely let Old Trafford rot. If we'd maintained Old Trafford, we never would need to find 2 billion and we'd be able to buy decent players. So it's the Glazers again. We don't need a new stadium if it had been looked after. The reason we need a new stadium is because the Glazers wouldn't spend anything on it, and it rusted and rotted in front of us. Anfield is no better than Old Trafford in the sense that they've just looked after it. They've maintained it. They've modernised it. We just let it go. So all this 2 billion and new stadium that people are getting excited about, it's an absolute waste of money. We never needed to do it. The Glazers just didn't look after Old Trafford. It's like I've said before, it's like having a really nice Ferrari on your drive. You don't put it in the garage, you don't clean it, you don't maintain it, you don't service it, you let it rust to a point where it's going to cost more to fix than buy a new one, and then you buy a new one. You've just wasted a shitload of money. We didn't need to build a new stadium. We just should have looked after what we had. But that's prime Glazers for you. They don't look after what they've got. They don't care about Old Trafford. They don't care about United fans. They don't care about Man United. They've let this club rot for 20 years and they're still here. And people still trust them. Madness. Nug says, do you think Old Trafford is beyond saving? Well, I think the problem with Old Trafford now is that to fix it probably is more expensive than moving somewhere else. And that's a deliberate act. No one can convince me. That's a deliberate act. I think the Glazers at some point 15, 20 years ago figured out that if they want the new stadium, which they do, and they want the regeneration project, which they do, they need to let Old Trafford just rust and rot to a point of no return. Because no one would ever want Old Trafford to get knocked down. But if you get it to a point where it has to be knocked down, they win. Someone uploaded Mount clip against Atletico with MUTV logo and it didn't get copyrighted. Lewis Hall news got knocked off in 2 hours. Hope you get the point, says Stretford Signal. Yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. Positive PR's fine. Right, thank you everybody for watching. Make sure you stay safe. Ben Jacobs, 2 o'clock. I'm going to be in the comments for that one. Very interested to see how that one plays out. Let's see what comes from that today. I mean, look, it probably will be depressing, but let's wait and see. Thank you everybody for watching. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.